Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in 2003 in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, fifth grade me lived a carefree life like most kids. I went to school, did my homework, and played tons of neighborhood games. Unlike most kids, I loved school. I was the sad kid on snow days. I learned for the sake of learning, though I hoped that I had some incentive to doing well in school. My stepdad would give me $25 for every A on my report card. I got straight A's all the way through. In class, we play games, do science projects, and read classic books like Hatchet and The Boxcar Children. I don't know if it was my academic performance or me being me, but my teacher made me feel special. I get special trinkets, help her out a lot, and get to work at her desk often. One girl would even call me a glory hogger because of all the praise and attention that I received. One day near the end of that fifth grade year, I remember my teacher, Mrs. Layton, looking at me and saying something along the lines of, "You're gonna be someone in this world." Those words stuck with me, especially as a quiet kid. I spent the next few years in tune with the school community. Fast forward to January 2008, my younger brother and I boarded a MARTS bus with my dad, who lived in Iowa, for a permanent move to Bettendorf. It was the only option for us, as my mom's relationship with her boyfriend turned south. Here I was, in a totally new community, a whiter community. It was a culture shock. I felt out of place and never really fit in with the majority white school. I deliberately distanced myself from some of my black peers. I dressed a certain way, never used profanity, rarely spoke, and had zero interest in drugs or alcohol. I might have been depressed. My family didn't have a lot, but I was determined to find purpose and belonging and break the cycle of poverty that so many black and brown families endure in America. When it came time to think about college, I questioned what my future had in store for me. I wondered what community I'd belong to during and after college. I wondered who I'd spend time with and what I would do with my life. You see, role models for kids like me usually consisted of athletes, entertainers, and civil rights icons. I looked up to people like Martin Luther King Jr., basketball player Kevin Garnett, and several rappers. I never had a black teacher or knew of any black professionals. Fewer than 2% of our country's teachers are black men. I'm a part of that count. About 8 years ago, I became a teacher in Des Moines Public Schools. As a December graduate, I subbed for a while in the spring of 2016 and got a long-term subbing position in April 2016. When I started, I never asked what happened to the classroom teacher. I was just happy to have a classroom to call my own for a while. People were saying things like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" and "Good luck." I just smiled and nodded. But it was clear on that first day that it would be a challenge. Students were fighting, yelling, screaming, daydreaming, you name it. And 7 of the 24 students had behavior goals. Thankfully, admin supported the room with 1 to 2 additional staff members that rotated in and out every hour or so. They co-taught with me, but our main focus was restoring the classroom community. When it came time for teaching, I connected lessons to students' lives and maintained a sense of my calm and understanding self, as opposed to going in there like Miss Trunchbull from Matilda. We rebuilt that community through one-on-one conversations with students, whole class recess games, lunch with students, fictional writing, and literature circles. It wasn't easy, but we got the class on track. I went into my first official year teaching fifth grade, knowing a lot more about community building in a classroom. I was vulnerable with students and speaking about the challenges of my upbringing. We talked about real things, things like race, culture, adoption, and the 2016 election. We talked about fun things like Pokemon, video games, and slime making. We did fun things like science projects, the mannequin challenge. And yes, I taught the mandated reading and math lessons by the book. Despite decent test scores, it was clear that I had a lot to learn about teaching. Being a black teacher in a field dominated by white women isn't easy. I often wonder what my colleagues and the families are thinking. I felt pressure to trust their opinions and ideas instead of my own. For example, I struggled to say something when they suggested skipping slavery lessons in social studies one year. I've grown accustomed to microaggressions, to not receive eye contact during conversations. I felt the need to look and sound professional at all times. And I froze when someone angrily demanded that my students stand and recite the pledge, even though the law says we can't force them to. Despite these things, I've always felt some level of community and purpose in my work. I also see the benefits of being a positive black role model for students. I can be sure that my approach is unlike most they've seen. I've been poor, I've been middle class, I've lived in single-parent households and two-parent households, I've been discriminated against, witnessed domestic violence, and had family members incarcerated. Community is vital for kids with similar experiences. My second year roster was diverse in several ways, but I often overheard students joke about their differences without realizing how hurtful they were being. A dark-skinned girl whose family immigrated from Africa would often get teased about her skin tone. I made sure to be there for her and remind her that black is beautiful. I remember handing her Sharon Flake's award-winning book called Skin I'm In. She looked like the girl on the cover, and I thought reading it would help her become more comfortable in her skin, just as the main character Malika did. You should have seen the smile on her face. She even asked for the book as her promotion gift that students got at the end of the year. Just like my fifth grade teacher made me feel special, I hope that little girl feel a sense of belonging. Large class sizes, COVID, and personal struggles really affected the middle years of my career so far, but I've enjoyed building with students these last few years. Despite the pay, systemic changes, and proposed changes within the profession, relationships with everybody make it easy to go into work each day. I was reminded of the characteristics and the strength of my community after reading a subnote when I was out a few months ago. She said I had a wonderful group of students who looked out for one another, that she can tell they appreciate my calm and affirming teaching style, to keep doing what I'm doing because it's having a positive impact, and that she'd welcome the opportunity to come back, which is unheard of these days. My first group of students are seniors now, high school seniors now. I've run into some of them and gotten emails from others. They always share how fifth grade was their favorite, how I supported them in staying true to themselves and being leaders. One student is pursuing journalism, while another is doing a missionary outside the US. Early on, I was determined to find purpose and community in my work for my well-being. But as time goes on, that focus has shifted more to ensuring my students feel like they belong. I can't imagine any other career or community to be a part of. That shy, quiet black boy grew up and found his community in a place that fails so many, regardless of race. I'm thankful for my colleagues, the families, and the 20 to 25, 9 to 10-year-olds that I get to share with each year. My classroom is a home away from home. My students won't remember what I taught them, but I hope they remember how I made them feel, how I urged them to value education and believe in themselves. I hope they find their place in the world and contribute to their communities just like I did. Thank you.
just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.